Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
And after a Labor Day short on jobs, a week of dueling solutions coming up. Good morning, everyone. Hope your three-day weekend was great. If you lounged around on vacation, if you worked in a service job helping people lounge around on vacation, if it was just another weekend of underemployment or unemployment for you, or if it was a weekend of hurricane damage repair. Remember this call we got on Friday from Greg in Northport about his perfect Labor Day weekend?
My idea of perfect three-day weekend would have somebody else clean my yard from the storm.
So another few days of rain starting up again. Hang in there, everybody, with sandbagging ahead. We'll talk about progress with Bob Henley coming up later this hour. He was with the president when he visited Patterson and Wayne and around there in New Jersey on Sunday. Also today, we have the Libyan ambassador to the United States. There is an intriguing development out of Libya this morning. People are following this convoy of Libyan military vehicles that has apparently gone from Libya across Algeria now into the nation of Niger, might be headed for the next nation west, which is Burkina Faso, which has offered asylum to Muammar Gaddafi. So there's some question as to whether Gaddafi is or will be part of this convoy. And that would really be the end of the old and the beginning of the new in Libya. Also, two more countries just this morning seem to have come forth with asylum offers for Gaddafi, those same two countries that the convoy is passing, Niger and Algeria. So we will talk to the Libyan ambassador to the United States, Ali Ojali, who used to represent Gaddafi and now represents the rebel transitional government. That's coming up in just a little while this hour. We have designer Milton Glaser and New Yorker architecture critic Paul Goldberger together today on 10 years of World Trade Center rebuilding and the image of New York. These are both designers. What is the image? What should it be of New York 10 years after 9/11? And Blake Mikoski today. You know that name? He's the founder of Tom Shoes on combining profit with meaning in business. The Toms to any other kind of shoe ratio seems to be increasing in New York City and vicinity. So we have all that coming up on the Brian Lehrer Show today. I hope you'll stay with us. But it was a poignant Labor Day for those who thought about labor and the jobless recovery summer. President Obama before union workers in Detroit.
So when I hear some of these folks trying to take collective bargaining rights away, trying to pass so-called right-to-work laws for private sector workers that really mean the right to work for less and less and less, when I hear some of this talk, I know this is not about economics. This is about politics. And I want everybody here to know, as long as I'm in the White House, I'm going to stand up for collective bargaining.
The chant, at least among those union members, 4 more years. Sarah Palin's take?
Between bailouts for Wall Street cronies and stimulus projects for union bosses' security and green energy giveaways, he took care of his friends, and now they're on course to raise $1 billion for his reelection bid so that they can do it all over again.
But Sarah Palin and those chanting supporters notwithstanding, as I mentioned before the news, even union members in a new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll disapprove of President Obama's job performance 49% to 45%. Not that they're more in love with the Republican Congress, hardly, but here we are. And in a new Gallup poll, the federal government overall has sunk to a dismal 17% approval rating, 17%. That sinks it to last place on a list of 25 institutions in that recurring Gallup poll. Federal government has now fallen below perennial unpopulars like the banks and the oil companies. Now, this week is supposed to bring some dueling proposals to create more jobs from the president in that major speech scheduled for Thursday night to a joint session of Congress, and from the Republican candidates who won his job. That debate is Wednesday night. But does either side have imagination? We'll get opinions now from the imaginations of bloggers from left and right. Carol Markowitz, conservative blogger on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, and David Dayen from the progressive site Fire Dog Lake. Carol, welcome back. David, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
David, first, what do you make of that poll result showing union members disapprove of the president's job performance by 49% to 45%? Isn't organized labor supposed to be a bastion of Democratic Party support?
Certainly, but there have been some issues where the president and organized labor have diverged. These trade deals that we could see in the next week or two worked on in Congress that the president supports are things that many union members believe will destroy jobs, actually, in America. And there are other issues such as, you know, the Employee Free Choice Act, which the president was unable to get through, never really acted upon. So there are a number of areas where labor believes that maybe the fight for jobs has not been as strong as it could be, and this obsession with the deficits that the president has gone through over the last year to year and a half is not necessarily something that's on the labor agenda.
Carol, any different view on that poll number?
Union as a whole might be Democratic, but the individual members are feeling the sting just like any other Americans, and there's no way Obama's numbers can stay high among people who don't have jobs or feel that they're just being squeezed by their taxes and can't afford their lifestyle.
Yeah, also, David, there have long been many so-called Reagan Democrats in the unions, mostly white males who are liberal on economic issues but conservative on cultural ones. So is this number even much of a change, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure of the history there in terms of where that usually goes. I mean, certainly in general elections, we see union members voting predominantly for Democrats. I do think that particularly when you're talking about how we've been over 9% unemployment for close to 2 years, and the conversation in Washington for the last several months has been about reducing the deficit, which this austerity agenda, if we look to both history and if we look to Europe right now, is doing nothing in terms of either growing the economy or reducing the deficit in those countries, because when you have less people working, you have less tax receipts. I just don't think that's something that labor is going to sign on to, and they haven't signed on to.
All right. And, this will be an interesting way to invite some callers. Any union members listening right now, let's say if you're a current union member, employed or unemployed, or maybe you work the night shift, which is why you're listening at this hour, 212-433-WNYC. How strong is your support for President Obama? 212-433-9692. Current union members, maybe retired union members, you could call in too. Anybody associated with a union significantly in your life, what kind of a job is Obama doing, in your opinion? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, with this Wall Street Journal NBC News poll. So you get Rupert Murdoch and Rachel Maddow represented by those two organizations. Wall Street Journal NBC News poll finding Obama approval at a negative among union members, 49 negative to 45% positive. 212-433-WNYC, or post to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, where our guest Carol Markowitz is a conservative blogger. We also have David Dayen from the progressive site Fire Dog Lake. Carol, we heard that Sarah Palin clip. Your last blog post for It's a Free Country was, don't blame Sarah Palin for wanting or getting attention, even if she's not a candidate. Do you think she's about to become a candidate?
My feeling is no. I think she's carved out a real successful niche for herself in politics. Everybody hangs on her every word. As soon as she runs, she becomes a target. Not that she's not a target now, but she becomes a target for everybody, including the Republicans in the primary field. And I think she's just has too much power and is making so much money that I don't see her running. But, you know, anything could happen. Maybe it'll change. Maybe she wants to run. But I my guess would be not this time.
Is it that Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry have already claimed the kind of supporters who Palin could have gotten?
I think Palin still thinks she can rile up her supporters and pull them away from those candidates. But I just feel like the time is ticking. The primary season is getting shorter and shorter, and it's getting later and later. So I just don't see her taking the stage this time.
Tomorrow night, there's a Republican candidates debate, of course. Yes, Perry. Yes, Romney. Yes, Bachmann. No, Sarah Palin. Here is Rick Perry this weekend going after Romney.
There is no one going to be sitting on that stage who has the record of job creation that I have. There's going to be some that get up and say, well, I've created jobs, and that's true. There's, you know, one in particular that's created jobs all over the world. But while he was the governor of Massachusetts, he didn't create very many jobs.
So, Carol, Perry getting some laughs there. Of course, he's the governor of Texas and trying to contrast his job creation record as governor to Mitt Romney's as governor rather than Mitt Romney's in the private sector. A lot has been said and written about whether job creation is really Perry's doing or it's just a lot of immigration, and so there's job growth that follows the population and also the oil boom in Texas. What do you think is going to happen on stage tomorrow, and how do you think Republican voters are going to react?
Well, I think Perry really studied the lesson of Pawlenty, who was out of the race so early because he couldn't bring himself to attack the presumed frontrunner, Mitt Romney. And I don't think Perry's going to make that mistake. I think he's going to go after Mitt, and this was just the first kind of lighthearted shot. But it will get more intense as the race heats up, and Perry's not going to back down from Mitt Romney. He's definitely going to take him on head on. He knows he's the one to beat, and he's going to go after him.
David, do you want to comment on that from your Fire Dog Lake perspective? Also, I'm hearing that Rick Perry might actually back out of this debate to stay home because of the wildfires in Texas. Do you know about that?
Well, I know he backed out of a forum held by Jim DeMint yesterday because of the wildfires.
Yeah, so, in South Carolina.
The possibility certainly exists that he would extend that and back out of the debate, which is here in California. You know, I think that if you look at any poll over the last 2 weeks, you'll see that it's Rick Perry, not Mitt Romney, who's the front runner by double digits. So, you know, not having Perry on that stage will actually probably hurt everybody else because there will not be a target to shoot for. And it's not necessarily about whether Rick Perry is going to go on the attack at this point, but whether anybody else will go on the attack against Rick Perry. I think Mitt Romney is in the Pawlenty position right now.
Fascinating. We are getting so many union members who want to comment on President Obama's job performance. Our 10 phone lines filled up right away. So let's hear what some of these union members have to say. Mendez in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling.
Good morning, Brian. I'm a big fan. I was telling your screener that I think we are strongly behind Obama, except that at this juncture, union members, we feel that he's basically caving to the conservative party, the Republican Party. So we're a little bit upset with him, but I think at the end of the day, we're going to be behind him 100%.
Thank you.
Without a doubt. And his approval rating is low across the board, but I think eventually that's going to go up.
Thank you very much. So union members, or at least Mendez, supports him, not as enthusiastic as he wished he would be. Maybe that's going to translate to lower turnout among union members, even if Mendez himself is going to show up after articulating that lack of enthusiasm. Annette in Laurelton, you're on WNYC. Annette, thanks a lot.
Hi, Brian.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm a retiree, and I still support the president because the midterm election was really clear. He was very clear when he said, you don't vote for the people who put you in the ditch. They didn't listen. They didn't listen to him. what happened in Wisconsin when I saw Russ Feingold lose his position. I knew that the union members, because basically you have a lot of firefighters and police officers who usually vote Republican. So I think it was a wake-up call to that section of the union who usually they do, they're very, they're, if you look at them, they do vote Republican. And I think that, to me, that was a clear picture of how the unions need to really stick together now because they see that we are the target.
Annette, thank you very much. And Inalda in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Inalda.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I'm a union member. I find that last comment interesting because I never voted Republican in my life. And Republicans, in my opinion, have never been interested in the interests of the working person, let alone those that are in unions. I told your producer I'm very disappointed in the president in many ways, but I don't see anybody else right now on the horizon.
Right.
Back.
So there are two different. I mean, there are many ways to ask a poll question. Are you going to vote for Obama over a Republican? Obviously, all three of you who you've spoken to so far would say yes. If you were asked, though, the job approval rating, do you approve of the job President Obama has been doing so far, would you say yes or no?
I think I would have to say I'm probably about 80% no. Sadly, I'm very disappointed. I think, unfortunately, you know, this is corporate America, and I think our politicians, whether they like to admit it or not, are owned by corporations. And corporations don't like unions.
Inalda, thank you very much. David Dayan, 80% no. So an interesting sampling of three union members, one retired. Callers there.
Yeah, I think that I think this is reflected in the general population. I mean, I think that the debt limit deal really broke a lot of people's faith in government and by extension, faith in the president. To come up with, you know, programs that benefit the public at large. So, you know, and I think you see this dichotomy in the polling where the approval rating is pretty low, but then when you match up the president against a generic Republican or the specific Republicans who are running, it's a closer race.
David, from your point of view, and our guests for another few minutes before the Libyan ambassador for the new rebel government joins us, Ali Ojali. Our guest for these next few minutes, still Carol Markowitz, conservative blogger on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, and David Dayan from the progressive site Fire Dog Lake. And David, you blogged on Fire Dog Lake on Sunday, as we've been asking the question, where's the imagination on the economy, that the U.S. might look to Argentina rather than Europe for a better model on jobs. What are they doing in Argentina?
Well, it's what they've done since they've sort of broken from the yoke of the IMF and decided to use public work spending, taxation on imports and exports, and they've grown their economy at 6% over the last several years. Now, you know, obviously this is an emerging market and not necessarily has all of the same characteristics as the United States, but what we've definitely seen in places like Europe, particularly Britain and some of the other industrialized countries in Europe, is that they've gone through these austerity programs. They've massively cut their own spending. Even if they've raised taxes in those austerity programs, they've led to practically zero growth. And that, you know, it's pretty clear empirically from the data that when you cut spending in the middle of a jobs crisis and a downturn, and in the middle of a demand crisis, you're going to reduce demand that much more and end up hurting your economy in the process.
We have a minute left. Carol, Europe is your hometown.
I guess this is exactly where conservatives and liberals differ, because my thinking is that the problem with Europe is because they raise taxes, not because they cut spending during these times. And if you raise taxes, you reduce the amount of money people are taking home, reduce the amount of money that they're spending, and hurt your economy even more. So I see it as a tax issue. They raise taxes when they should have cut taxes, and spending is less of the issue there.
Well, are there imaginative ideas on the Republican side, or is it all cut taxes and hope that Adam Smith's invisible hand works?
You just go back to what worked in the past, and what worked in the past was letting people keep more of their money and having the government stay out of their business. The truth is, for all the Obama doesn't create jobs, the president really doesn't create jobs. He only sets up a situation where they get out of the way of the private businessmen of creating jobs.
Yeah. Carol Markowitz and David Dayan, thank you both very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
And obviously we'll talk about these issues all week, before and after tomorrow night's debate, before and after the president's address on Thursday, and long after that, because that's the number one issue in our country, obviously. And as you can hear, with respect to Europe and Argentina and everywhere else, probably the number one issue around the world for some time to come. We are still digging out globally from 2008 and from the real estate bubbles and all those related problems. Coming up next, we have the Libyan ambassador to the United States, Ali Ojali, used to represent the Gaddafi regime. Now he represents the new rebel government. And there is this intriguing development that I mentioned before of a Libyan military convoy moving country to country in Africa right now. Is that going to be the convoy that takes Muammar Gaddafi himself to asylum? We'll try to find out.